Okay, we apologize for the technical difficulties that our live stream had. We had a power outage, can't control that, and so it happened right in the middle of my homily. So what we're going to do is I believe I got the signal that we're all good, both on our website and our Facebook page, parish Facebook page, as well as now we are live on my personal Facebook page as a backup in case a power outage happens again. So I am so, we've had like maybe a 5-minute delay and things going in and out, so, and I'm so discombobulated, I don't even know where I'm at the homily. So I am going to start from the beginning and we can do the editing so that for the later, for anybody who wants to see this later. I'm going to start at the beginning just so that for my own purposes, so that I can get back into where we were, all right? Because this was a long gospel, 45 verses. And what I want to focus on for today's homily is something that may have been perplexing to our human sensibilities, because diving deeper in today's gospel helps us understand God's mysterious ways. God's M.O. is not our M.O., and we know, though, that he's always willing and acting for our good, because God is love. And love is what? Willing the good of the other. And so in today's gospel, did you catch that when Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was sick, Jesus purposely chose to stay away until Lazarus had actually passed away and died? I mean, Martha and Mary were calling out to him so that Jesus might come and heal him. Come, Jesus, we need you to come because our brother's dying. But what did Jesus do? He chose to stay away for a couple of days on purpose before heading out. So Lazarus was one of Jesus' dearest friends, and he chose to stay away anyway. Why? It's not like, you know, Lazarus had the coronavirus or something. So you'd think he'd go immediately to see his friend. But Jesus decides to wait so as to arrive 4 days after Lazarus had passed. And we'll come back to the reason why. But going back to Bethany was a dangerous trip at this point. Because remember that Jesus' home base is in where? In Galilee, up in the north of the Holy Land area. Bethany is in the south, in the region of Judea, where the religious leaders were threatening Jesus already. They already tried to kill him. So some of the disciples hesitated, thinking Jesus was nuts for wanting to go back to Judea. What did the disciples say in the gospel? The Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? And remember here that Jews in this case doesn't refer to everybody of Jewish descent, because everybody was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jewish. So when John, St. John, in his gospel refers to the Jews, he often means Judeans, right? Those from the part of the Holy Land in the south, the land of Judah. Remember I said that Jesus was from what part of the Holy Land? Galilee. They even had their own accent up there. That area is in the north, and Judea is in the south. So in other words, the disciples are saying, those southerners, those Judeans, were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Are you crazy? But Thomas, the same guy who doubted that Jesus rose from the dead, you know, after the resurrection, and said that he wouldn't believe until Jesus appeared to him, he might have been doubting, but he's also brave. Because it's at this point, it's that same St. Thomas that says, boldly says, let us also go to die with him. So Thomas is up for going, and that settles it, you know. And the disciples went with Jesus to the danger zone. Because remember, things are heating up over there. This is close to when the Holy Week would occur, and which is part of why the church has us read this gospel on the fifth Sunday of Lent. See, Jesus is determined. Because this is all part of the divine plan. And speaking of the divine plan, let's go back to why Jesus decided to wait for a couple of days before leaving. John actually mentions Jesus' motive. And that motive for him staying away until Lazarus died was because of he loved them. Pretty weird reason to our ears, right? John said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. He was waiting 2 days because he loved them. And we're like, what? I mean, if Jesus loved them, how come he didn't go right away? I mean, if my brother told me mom was dying, and he goes, because I love mom, I'm going to wait 2 days here before I leave. He would have thought I was crazy, right? And so what's up with Jesus? But remember what God said, my ways are not your ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts. So let's see what John said in the gospel about God's ways. Quote, so then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him, Jesus said. So wait a minute, Jesus, we're supposed to be glad that you were not there to save Lazarus from dying. But we see why that's the divine plan. Because he says, I am glad for you I was not there, that you may believe. Well, remember what he said to Martha when he got there. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever comes to me, even though he dies, will live. Do you believe this? He asked Martha. The purpose for Lazarus' dying from the dead was to bring about that saving faith that would save all of us from eternal death. So Lazarus' death, in fact, has a twofold purpose. Number one, it would serve to be a great witness to God's power working in his son Jesus, that people may believe, right? And number two, that it would serve as a sign or a foreshadowing for what would be Jesus' destiny in his passion, death, and resurrection. See, the death and resurrection of Lazarus' body would be a living prophecy, a living sign of what Jesus would do with his own body that the authorities would put to death, right? So Martha and Mary, seeing what Jesus could do with their brother Lazarus, would increase their faith, especially during the passion itself, right? It would increase their faith and clarify their imperfect notion of what the Messiah was sent to do. See, this Messiah, this anointed one sent by God the Father, he wasn't just some political liberator from the Roman oppression, but Jesus was there to take on the greater oppressors of humanity, the ever greater cosmic oppressors of humanity, the cosmic powers of sin and death that divide and enslave humanity and destroy lives, destroy families. And so here we are, 2,000 years later, still speaking about Lazarus and Martha and Mary, celebrating how God used them as instruments of his glory. And we do this, you know, I mean, who would have, if everything went fine, back in the day when Lazarus got sick, he got a little bit sick, Jesus was there, cured him, we wouldn't be talking about him today. All the churches in the world, even during this coronavirus, are proclaiming and extolling the glory that God showed through Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And God does this with many of the saints, right? We extol God's marvels and God's faithfulness to his people through the wonders that he has done in the lives of his saints. But there's a little bit of a catch. They all entailed those same very saints undergoing great trials and sufferings, following the footsteps of their master, all so that the glory of God, what, may be revealed. See, this is what God wants to do with us and our lives. Now, maybe you're seeing the suffering of the saints and you're thinking, man, Lord, that if that's what you have for the people that you love, I don't know if I want to be a saint. But friends, the reality of this fallen world is that we are going to face suffering no matter what. The riches and pleasures of this world ain't gonna keep you or me from suffering and death. It's been proven a billion times over, right? So the question is whether or not that suffering will be used to break us and bring us to despair, or will we allow God to use it and join our sufferings to the saving mystery of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. Brothers and sisters, our lives are meant to reveal God's glory. And in a fallen world, our lives become a sign, just as Lazarus's was, so that people may know where to go, and so that people may believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But for us to be used in this way, we need the eyes of faith to be able to discern God's mysterious purposes in our lives and how He can use our trials, use our sufferings, which are part and parcel of a fallen world, for the salvation of humanity. So this is why the life of prayer is so important, so essential for us. The prayer by which we continually, that we daily surrender to God's will, is what gives us the eyes of faith and allows God to use us. It's what allows us to see how God sees. It allows us to recognize that God's MO is not our MO. But when we are able to see God's MO, we will be able to discern God's mysterious purposes and His mysterious ways, and like St. Thomas, be able to see, all right then, let's do this. And if you don't know where to begin with regards to a prayer life, Father Brian and I have repeatedly recommended these last 10 days or so in our video streams with the rosary and whatnot, we've recommended the Metanoia series from the Ministry of the Wild Goose. There are 10 episodes of that, beautifully done, and it's available for free on wildgoose.tv, wildgoose.tv. Each episode is about half an hour long. Use each episode to get you in that spiritual zone by which our souls are quieted, so as to be able to discern the Holy Spirit's voice and sense the Lord's touch. All right, Father Dave's talks are a great springboard for our own intimate exchange with Jesus. And so to close here, God will use even this evil pandemic to make His glory known, because evil can never consume God's goodness, God's love. Love conquers over evil. Remember what Jesus said. In the world, you will have troubles. But take heart. Take courage. I have conquered the world. My prayer is that, like Lazarus, may your own life be a very sign of that truth. Amen.